But I tell you what, Jesus has opened the door. He has given his life as a gift. His blood was shed on Calvary for you. And my prayer is that if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, that you would know him today. Amen? Amen. I appreciate you being here this morning. Visitors, thank you for coming. Amen. Thank you for being here. And trustees, maybe look around right after service if you can grab a pen and one of our cards to get some information from people that have not been here before. I would appreciate that. And we'd always like to keep in touch with those that are visiting, and I want to be a help to you any way we can. Amen. I appreciate you coming here this Sunday morning. Part of my family's home not feeling well. I know this, things have been going around. You pray for those that aren't able to be here this morning. And Miss Heather, Brother Ayers was telling me tomorrow some doctors are going to be meeting together to determine if they're going to remove some more of the cancer. She got some good news that the cancer has not grown. It's not gotten any worse. And so we're praying the Lord will maybe through this surgery just take it all away, get rid of it. And that's what our prayer is. You pray for Miss Heather and the doctors to have wisdom tomorrow. And all the other requests I know that are upon your hearts, we pray one for another. The Lord will help you this morning. If you would this morning, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew in chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. Amen. My prayer is that we've all come prepared for the truth, prepared for the Word of God, amen, and prepared to worship. He is so worthy of our praise, amen. You scream louder than that and for your boys and girls at basketball. Come on now. We give Him more praise. We need to give Him more praise than we do anything else. Amen. He's worthy, He's worthy, He's worthy. Amen. You say, well, I'm not emotional. Well, I'll sit beside you at the next ball game. Amen. See how emotional you are. Hallelujah. Amen. He's good, isn't He? Amen. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 36. Bible says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. For their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's pray. Father, first of all, I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me the way you do. For letting me be one of your children. I thank you for the time that you've spent with me this week. How precious it is to hear your voice, to feel your presence. It's my prayer that you would meet with us this morning in this place. I pray that hearts are prepared for the Word of God. I pray that our hearts are open and willing to receive what you have. But help us, Lord, not to just hear the words of God, but to do them. Lord, help us to take everything else off of our minds, to put away everything else that we're thinking about, what's going to happen the rest of the day, what's going to happen this week, what we got on our agenda. Help us to set our minds on you, to think on things above and not on things on the earth. You told us that we would be renewed by our minds being, we'd be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds are what we need to keep on you and to keep on the things above and not let them get so bogged down with this world and the things of this world. Help us this morning as we receive what you put in my heart. God, I need you this morning. Help me as we bring forth the word that you put in our heart. God, help me to always be in the right spirit. Help me to always preach, God, in humility and love for your people. Meet with us today. Fill us with the power of God. Pray that you'd save the lost today. Strengthen the saint. God, and reach out to those who have strayed away and help them find their way back this morning. Well, thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, and as we look at the life of Christ, there are basically two places in the Word of God, two situations. I'm not saying it's the only situations, but it's two situations that really stick out and deal with the humanity of Christ. We don't see a whole lot about the humanity of Christ because Christ doesn't spend a whole lot of time talking about himself. He was promoting his Father. He came to do the will of his Father. That's what he told us. But there are two instances that are in the Word of God that are penned that show us some personal things about how the humanity of Christ and how he dealt with life as a human body in human flesh. And you've got to understand that Jesus Christ, yes, he was the God-man. But you must understand, if he said, I have felt everything that you will ever feel, I have dealt with every temptation you will ever deal with, you must understand he lived in flesh. He lived without sin, but he lived in this flesh. He felt everything that we could ever feel. And that's one part of Christianity that we must understand in order to be helped by the words of Christ, in order to be helped by the ministry that Christ had. You must first understand that he dealt with things even on more of a more extreme level than we ever will deal with them. So none of us can sit here and say, well, nobody understands. I can tell you one person that understands, and that is Christ. The first situation that we look at in the Word of God, and we won't go there for sake of time, but if you were to turn back to Matthew chapter 4, you will find after the baptism of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist had baptized Jesus Christ, and we know as the Bible says that the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
And right after that moment, the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. For 40 days he fasted. He prepared himself for the temptation. If you read the Word of God, the temptation, he wasn't tempted for 40 days. He was fasting for 40 days and afterward hungered, and the devil showed up afterwards. He was preparing himself, because if you look through Scripture, you will see that Jesus always knew what was coming ahead of him. The hour has come, just as we just read. He knew it was time. The disciples didn't have a clue what was going on, but Jesus knew the hour has come. Jesus knew the devil was going to be close behind as soon as he was presented, and as soon as God said, "Here is my son, I'm well pleased with him," he knew the devil wouldn't be far behind. And I will tell you something this morning, if you're a Christian of any age, of any sort, if you ever make the decision, "I'm going to stand, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God, I want to walk with God," I can guarantee you the devil's not going to be far behind. So one of the things that Jesus did to prepare himself was he fasted for 40 days. Now, that wasn't just food. I'm not just saying it was, you know, oh, we just get stuck. We hear that word fast, and it's just food, it's just food. No, it's not just food. He was in the wilderness. No entertainment, no social media, none of those things out there. Putting it in our relative terms. And he said, I need to prepare myself for the temptation that devil is going to come and bring into my life. I will tell you this right now. The devil is going to try to tempt you all the time. How are you preparing yourself for that day of temptation? If you feed the flesh every other day, when the devil says, "Hey, this will make your flesh feel good," you're going to jump right on it every single time. Every single time. But if you have put the flesh down and you say, "No, I'm not going to eat any pleasant food." That doesn't mean you can't eat. "I'm actually going to eat my vegetables that I really don't like. I'm going to eat things that don't succumb to me, that I don't just desire and salivate to have. And I'm not going to go and eat the pleasant things. I'm going to eat some things, but they're not going to be pleasant to the tongue, to the taste. But they will sustain me. They will give me enough strength to go from day to day. But I'm not telling this flesh, you get whatever you want." Jesus himself had to do that. He had to tell the flesh he was living in, "Nuh-uh. You're not going to rule me." It's exactly what he was saying. And it would do, especially young people, and it's not just young people. I work with adults every day that have a problem. You need to learn early on to tell your stinking flesh, "Uh-uh. We ain't going this way. We ain't going this way." As Daniel purposed in his heart, he said, "No, I don't want the king's meat. That was some of the best steak you ever ate in your life. Nope. Give me pulse and give me water to drink. Because my flesh doesn't get those desirable things. I don't want my flesh rearing up and being more powerful than myself." So Jesus, doing that shows us some parts of his humanity. Yes, he had to prepare himself for temptation. I will tell every young man, every young woman in this building, if you don't take time to tell your flesh no, if you don't take time to say, "Nope," and you're not able to tell your flesh, "Well, I'm not drinking a Mountain Dew today," or "I'm not drinking a..." You say, "Well, that's silly." No, it's not. You are saying you have the ability to say, "No, I'm going to drink water for the next 5 days." And I'll just tell you this, if you are so weak, some of y'all look at me funny, but I'm just telling you, if you are so weak that you can't tell your body it can't have anything but water for the next 5 days, I guarantee you the devil's job is going to be so easy. I'm just telling you. That's why parents, and I wasn't going to go this route, but the Lord's putting it in here this morning. That's why parents, it's not always good to tell your child everything, yes, to everything they want. They need to understand they don't get everything they want. That goes against society, but you know what? No is not a bad word. Instead of feeding their desires, and what we've done today is parents don't want to deal with it. They don't want to take the time to train their children, so they just give them whatever they want to get them to hush for a few minutes. That's not how you train children. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be able to have strength, there's so many people, and I get approached, you know, people dealing with, man, I'm just struggling. I keep falling. What are you doing to prepare yourself for it? All I see is you're indulging yourself in every other area of life. So why do you think you're going to be strong in this area? And that may not sound pretty and sound like something a preacher ought to say to somebody. I'm not going to just lean on somebody, well, I'm going to pray for you. No, get some self-control in your life. Start telling yourself no in other areas, and you'll find out how easy when it comes to that area that you're struggling with. It's like, nope. You'll find out you become strong. Jesus had to prepare himself. Amen. We see the humanity of Christ. We see he had to deal with the flesh because he would not have been able to say, I have felt everything you have felt. I am touched by the feelings. I know the feelings. Jesus had feelings. Jesus had to resist the devil. And he did it with Scripture. Amen? The second time, this is the other time that we've seen that we read this morning, we see something again about the humanity of Christ. We all know this place. This was right after, you know, the Lord looked at Peter, and Peter was the gung-ho one. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave your side. I'll never, Lord, I'll never. And the Lord looked at him and said, yeah, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll never leave you, Lord. Jesus said, no, Peter, you don't even know your own self. And then he gives us this passage in verse 36 where he comes to this place called Gethsemane. If you study the word Gethsemane, you'll have an understanding that this was a place where the olives were pressed and the oil was extracted from the olives. The whole name of Gethsemane means pressure. Pressed. It's not a coincidence he ended up in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he went to the cross. I think a lot of people downplay this situation because they don't really understand it, because we can't totally understand what Christ was going through. We can't totally understand what was happening between him and his Father and all the things going through his mind. But I will tell you this. Now, Jesus was totally sinless. I don't want you to think that anything we look at and any reason that Jesus was questioning what was going on, it was not. What that tells me is, it's not a sin to question something. The sin is in rebellion. There's no problem questioning. John the Baptist said, go and ask him. I want to know, is he really the one? Or should I look for another? But John didn't rebel. You're going to look at a scripture right here today where Jesus Christ himself in human form is questioning what his Father is getting ready to ask him to do. Now, step aside. Have you ever had the Lord? Have you in a situation? He gave you just enough light to understand you were getting ready to go through one of the worst things you'd ever stepped in your life, and you were begging God, don't take me that way. I don't want it to be that way. I don't want it to have to go that way. Is there any other way we can do this? See, when the devil dealt with the Lord in the wilderness, if you look at all the temptations the devil did, he wanted the Lord to take the easy route. You know, our culture, everything fast. Put it in the microwave. You get it right now. You get it. You want a business? This is the fastest way to get it. You want this? You know what? We've gotten in our culture where we don't, and the only reason I know this is people in trades that actually work with their hands are becoming extinct. I'm just telling you, extinct. Why? Because nobody wants to put in the blood, sweat, and tears anymore to get anything. Everybody wants it right now, right now, right now, right now. It's another parental lesson. Don't make everything easy for your child. Make them work for some things. Amen? Hallelujah. When we look at the wilderness, the devil in every instance was saying, hey, you're the Son of God. Just tell the stones to become bread. There's your meal right there. Just use who you are. Just make it easy. Just make it easy. Just make it easy. Just make it easy. And he's going to tell you the same thing all throughout your life with temptation. Here's the fast road. If you want the pleasures of marriage, you don't have to go get married. Just go out and shack up, live together. That's the easy route. Amen. Wow. It's the truth. Our culture wants everything now, everything fast, and they want it with no commitment. What he is dealing with now is not temptation from the devil. He is dealing with direction from his Father. Now, I'm not saying he had a rebellious spirit. Don't get me wrong this morning. Don't go out of here saying, well, Brother Tripp said the Lord. No, Jesus was a human being. He had feelings. This was stressing him out so bad. In another gospel, it tells us that he was sweating as if it were great drops of blood. You ever been stressed out? You ever been stressed out so bad, blood ran out of your head? I don't think so. That is actually a medical condition. You can be that stressed out. So Jesus, the God-man, was so stressed out about what he was getting ready to go through, blood was coming from his pores as he was in prayer and as he was dealing with this and saying, Father, does it really have to be this way? Does it really have to be this way? What we see in this portion of Scripture is Jesus Christ dealt with so much pressure, so much stress. He even told his disciples, I am sorrowful even unto death. That didn't mean anything about the next day. That meant he was so sorrowful, he was so grieved, he was so stressed out. He felt as if he was going to die in the garden. Is that not Scripture? Sorrowful even unto death. You ever been there? God, just take me home. I can't deal with this anymore. Ever been there? Just, Lord, I just can't do it anymore. I just take me home. Just take me home. I'm going to look at this, and then the Lord has given me something else to give to you before we leave in this passage, but I want you to see something. I want you to go to verse 37. As you know, Jesus had 12 disciples. We know because Jesus sat down with them at supper, he had told Judas whatever he was going to do quickly. So Judas was not present. So at the garden, there were 11 disciples. And then he looks at three of them in verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. That would be James and John. That was his inner circle. Those were the men he had chosen to allow to become a little bit closer than anybody else. And you'll find as you go through this life, there are people who are your distant friends, and then you've got those inner circle friends who know a whole lot more than everybody else. Amen. Jesus said, all right, Peter, James, and John, you've been with me on the Mount of Transfiguration. You've been with me on the high times. You've been in the upper places. You've been on the high side of the ministry. But this is the only time, and you can prove me wrong, but this is the only time I find in Scripture Jesus looks at those three and says, I want you to pray with me. Now, we know of another situation where he looked at Peter and said, I've prayed for you. But this is the only time I believe he's pulled those three aside and he says, he tells them, look at what he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He said, I'm taking you away. I'm bringing you away from the others. I am sorrowful. I feel like I'm going to die from the pressure I'm going through. And I'm asking you to tarry with me. I'm just asking for a few moments of your time. Tarry with me and watch with me. The Bible says in verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face. And the Bible tells us in another portion of Scripture, it was about a stone's cast. What that meant was they were close enough to hear. If he was in that much agony and that much pain as he cried to his Father, they could hear. Amen? We could go out in the back, I could give you a stone, and you could throw it, and I guarantee if your child was laying on their face, throwing a fit like they do, Mama, you would hear it, wouldn't you? What I'm trying to get across this morning, he didn't go so far away the disciples had no idea the stress amount that he was going through or what he was saying. They could hear. But one thing about this, in the first part of what we're going to look at, one thing about this, Jesus went to his Father three different times. Look at what he says. Verse 39. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What does that say to you about Jesus as a human being? He was saying to his Father, another portion of Scripture even includes that he was talking in a sense of the word Abba Father, that closest, not Daddy. Daddy, if there's any way, is there any way I can get away from drinking this cup? Isn't there another cup? Isn't there? I'm not against you. I'm not against what you're wanting to do. I'm not against what, but is there any other way? But he said, no matter what, if there's not, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. What I find in this passage of Scripture, you'll find three different times he went to his Father. And I believe the Father, in one way, shape, or form, let him know there was no other way. Because when he went to his disciples the last time, he didn't get upset with them for not praying with him and not being in the prayer, not watching and not being there with him. He just said, just sleep on. I've got my answer. I've got my answer. But you know what gave Jesus the strength? Because he was under such stress that his body was pushing out blood out of his pores, just in such agony, almost unto death. He was in that agony until he understood, and until his Father basically showed him there was no other way. And he said, okay, Father, not your will, or not my will, but thine be done. How can this help you and me in this situation as a human being? You know, even as Paul went to the Lord three different times and he prayed and said, Lord, can you take this thorn out of my flesh? I could minister so much better. I could do so much greater things if you would just take this thorn out of my flesh. Three different times the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul. And you know what? After that, the Bible doesn't say Paul asked for it anymore because Paul finally had the understanding that was the will of God. You know what will help a lot of people today? A lot of people have a desire to do what God would have them to do, but they're not willing to do it the way the Father says do it. That's why there's so many people that are living stressed to the hilt in this life. The stress won't go away until you finally just say, okay, this is the way God wants, and I trust my Father. You know what? Jesus trusted his Father. enough to say, okay, if that's the path you want to take me on, so be it. And sometimes we deal with such stress because we're going into the prayer closet every day saying, God, move this mountain for me. Take this out of my life. Get it out of my way and I can do what you want me to do. And the Father's saying, no. So you go into the closet and you're living with that stress on a daily basis. And let me tell you something. If you want to get away from stressful things in your life, just say, okay, Lord, if this is the path you've chosen for me, so be it. You know what's best. And I can tell you this morning, I've been in some of those times. I'm not going to get elaborate and share, but I'll tell you, there's been times I've laid on my basement floor in a puddle of tears asking God to change the situation. And God said no. God said no. You know what? The stress left me when I finally said, okay, God, if this is what you want, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. And you know what? I didn't go in the next day asking God to move it. I went in the next day, God, give me wisdom. God, give me strength. God, give me wisdom. God, give me strength. And it'll take the stress out of your life. I'm not saying it's a sin to question. What I'm saying is it's when you rebel and you stiff arm and say, God, I can't do it that way. I'm not going to do it that way. That's where you get into trouble. And that's where your stress is going to come from. But when you say, okay, Lord, if there is no other way, I'll do it your way. If Jesus Christ Himself had to come to that point in His human life, don't think for a minute you're not going to deal with that. But He can look at you and say, I know how it feels. I had to deal with my Father forsaking me. You say, what was in that cup He was talking about? Three things the Lord gave me. Because it's always kind of been mysterious. I've been asked a lot of questions. What was it that He was so stressed about? And I can't stand here and tell you that I know exactly 100%, but I'll tell you the three things that the Lord put on my heart today. The first thing was the fact that His Father, because of what was getting ready, He was going to have to deal with His Father turning His face away from Him and His Father forsaking Him. You know what else He had to deal with? The Bible said He knew no sin, but He became sin for me and you. Somebody that had been sinless, spotless, took the sin of all the world and said, okay, lay it on me. Lay it on me. Lay it on me. And the third thing is you'll find in a few more verses down when that crowd of religious people came out to get Him and took Him away, the Bible says all the disciples forsook Him and fled. Every person who was supposed to be a student of His, a friend of His, that inner circle, that Peter, James, and John, got up and ran away. So when you think about the cup that He was praying about, He's saying, Lord, can it be another way? Can I at least keep a couple friends? I mean, can I have a little bit of something here as a human? I mean, the worst thing to do is to go through something all by yourself. The worst thing in life is to have to go through something all by yourself. Jesus had to endure that all by Himself. He didn't have somebody there while they were punching Him in the face and beating Him with that cat of nine tails and spitting on Him. He didn't have anybody standing there and encouraging Him and helping Him stand back up. They were all gone. Peter was over sitting by fire. I don't know who that guy is. What are you talking about? I can say one thing. Going through the roughest parts of my life, God gave me a wonderful friend in my wife. And I did have a friend walking me through some of the darkest places. And if you've got a friend today, be thankful. Amen. But Jesus, the stress of it was going through all that alone. A lot of us would be much better off if we would just say, okay, Father, if this is the way you want to take me, I'm willing to go. Some of you this morning are struggling with salvation this way. Some of you are sitting here this morning, you're saying, well, isn't there another way? This just seems too easy, and it's all kind of on the other end of things. But I would have to humble myself and say that I'm a sinner. I would have, don't I have to work my way up into heaven? And by pride, you just want to do something so you have a part of it. And he said, no, it's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. And some of you are struggling with salvation because you just can't, well, what do I do? Accept the gift of salvation. Amen. You got to understand that you're a lost sinner, that you have sinned, and you've sinned against the God in heaven. You've got to repent of what you've done, and I have that understanding. But let me tell you something. You just accept the blood of Jesus Christ, that it will cleanse you from all sin. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. You must believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood for your sin. And accept that fact. And it will change your life when you totally understand what He did for you in salvation. You'll become a new creature. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. But I want to show you something the Lord just spoke to me before I was done. And just kind of exhorting us and helping us in this matter from a different side. And now we're going to look from the disciple side. You know, statistics will show you in the world in which we live, we are terrible at relationships. Would everybody agree in this world, we are the worst generation for relationships? I'm not just talking about marriage relationships. I'm talking about moms and children, dads and children, brothers and sisters. We're the worst. We are the worst when it comes to having relationships. You know, and something I've studied, you know, you read the Bible and you study about the man David. David had his problems. But one thing God said about David was he was a man after God's own heart. One thing about David, David was good at relationships. Like David and Jonathan, you don't see relationships like that in the day in which we live. David and Jonathan, David had men he was so close to that when he said, I just wish I had a drink. You know what those mighty men did? Hey, he's asking for a drink. They went down, broke through the Philistine, went crazy nuts to get him a cup of water. We stink at relationships. I'm just telling you. It's because we're selfish. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. I'm looking at the disciples and I'm telling you this. From their point of view, Jesus, who had never asked them, He had only asked them to have faith. He had only been on them about faith. Where's your faith? Come on. Don't you have any faith? Can't you see? Look at what what else do I have to do? Is basically what Jesus was telling them. We just fed 5,000 people with a little basket full of food. And you're worried about getting in a ship in the middle of a storm? Jesus was always on His disciples about faith. Don't you believe? I mean, come on. But the one time Jesus looked at them, His inner circle, those three, you know, John, that rested upon Jesus, that had a relationship, he was tight, he was probably the closest disciple to Christ, was in that circle. And Jesus, and you must have understood, He didn't show His sorrowfulness to those other disciples because they wouldn't have understood, they wouldn't have known what to do. But when He started, as you read the Bible, as He comes away with them, He began to be very sorrowful. He began to open up and show them. You know, we can all come into this church, and sometimes I can look at you and never understand what you're going through because you've put on a smile. You know how to wear it. Oh, I'm doing great, Brother Greg. Things are awesome. And yet back at the house, they're not, you know. You talk to people around, we can wear it and we can act like everything's fine. But Jesus had those three men that He thought. You know, You would have expected Peter, James, and John, when he looked at them and said, I need you to watch with me. I need some help. I need you to pray. He was sorrowful, stressed out. And he just asked them to pray, to watch and pray. And as we know the scripture, look what happened. Jesus went back to them and they were sleeping. And he looked at Peter. And you say, why was he picking on Peter? I don't know. Probably because Peter was always the first one. I'll be with you, Lord, to the end. He's like, Peter, you can't even stay awake. I asked you to pray with me. This is one of the most stressful points of my life, and you can't even stay awake for me. Jesus had feelings. Let me tell you something about relationships. The problem with most relationships, like I said, is the selfishness that we live in. We don't care enough to know the extent. Like if you've got a close friend, if you've been invited in or somebody's shared things with you that they wouldn't share with anybody else and you know you're kind of on the inner circle, the problem is today we take that information and we act like we're somebody and we take it to somebody else. That is not right. If you're a true friend, you keep that in that circle. But the thing to do is being what we don't care enough to look deep enough to figure out why is Jesus so, you know, he's always healed the sick and touched the blind. Why? He's having problems. They didn't honestly care enough. If they really cared enough, I believe they would have went on a little further with him. They'd have got up close and listened. What is exactly? He's moaning and groaning, and they could hear a little bit of the stress that he was going through. But man, they were getting up close, and they should have gotten up close and heard this cup pass from me. What is he really dealing with here? What's going on? The problem is a lot of times we just don't care enough to get the details. We are the world's worst for shaking somebody's hand and saying, I'll pray for you. And you know what? If you look into the details, you know what I found out? If you care enough to look more into the details, and I'm not talking about embarrassing somebody, but you might have a way to find out what they're going through without them even knowing about it. God might have the answer to prayer back at your house. We're sitting there begging God to do stuff, and he's like, yeah, I've told you to be the body of Christ, and it's at your house, but you don't care enough. I'm just telling y'all the truth. We want revival. We want to be close to God. But even John said, how can you say that you love God and love not your brother? How can we say we want that closeness with God and we're not that close to anybody in this world? Why don't we have husband and wife relationships that are just tight? Because we don't care enough to know the details. Men have a problem. They're the worst listeners in the world. I am one, okay? That's why I can say that. Learn to listen to the details. You say, well, there's so many details. Listen to them. If you truly care, you're not going to care about your time. You're going to care about the situation. Ladies, on the other, same thing. God didn't make you the same. Aren't you glad? Amen. But why don't we have the relationships that we see back? I mean, we see these men that would just stick together to the end. That had a bond that's kind of, you know, to us it's a little bit like, wow, man, they were really tight. How can we expect to have that with God if we don't even know how to have it with our brothers and sisters on this earth? The disciples 3 times fell asleep. He's like, guys, come on. I know you're tired. I know it's late, but I need your help. I need you to pray. And then the Bible shows us in verse 56, it says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. I tell you what happens a lot of times in people's life, and if you've been in here and you've had something devastating happen in your life, you can probably nod your head, or if you don't want to, that's fine, but you can agree to this, that a lot of times in the most tragic points of your life, nobody's around. Because they're all a little afraid of what's happened and what's going on and why it's happening. Some people think, well, they must have been away from God. Let me tell you something. That's not your job. Hello? Not every time somebody's going through a hard time means they were away from God. We need to quit trying to play the Holy Spirit, amen, and be the body of Christ. God will reveal it. But what leads us to repentance? The goodness of God. That might be the ticket that leads them to repent if they were in sin, if somebody's just trying to help and trying to do. You know, we've got to get back to a place in our lives as Christians where we care enough to know details about. Not that I'm saying that you nose in somebody's business. Jesus had invited those three men into his life. And at the time when he said, okay, you've been close to me. I've shared these high points of my life, but now I'm asking you for some prayer. They slept. They went to sleep. Let me tell you, men, in a marriage, your wife will share their times and she'll have her way saying, hey, I need some attention. She'll share, y'all know when she needs attention, she'll tell you how. Most of the time, a lady don't have a problem looking at you and telling you she needs attention. Amen. Ladies, a lot of times it's a little more difficult for you because he just kind of gets quiet. And he don't say anything. Let me tell you something. Don't let your husband get quiet. Because I guarantee you, he's dealing with a whole lot more down in here. We're not like ladies with emotions, man. They're just like. Men. And we walk around with it, we walk around with it, we walk around with it. And then you wonder why that one day he just, boom! Where did that come from? Men, don't ignore your wives when they're trying to get some attention and need to listen to detail. Ladies, don't ignore your husbands when they shut down. You get a crowbar, you pry it open, you do whatever you have to do to get inside of there and figure out what's going on. Care enough. With your children, same thing. If you love them and care enough, get the detail. Find out what they're going to make mistakes. They're going to fall. Find out. Get up. Pick them up and help them. Amen. I want my children. Yeah, they've made mistakes. They're flesh and bone like everybody else's kids. But you know what? I want my house to be the first one they run to when they get into trouble and a problem. I don't want them being so afraid of me because they made a mistake that they go to run and tell everybody else. No, I want them coming to me saying, Daddy, I just made a mess. Sorry, buddy. Sorry, hon. The Lord's full of mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Be willing to tell your children you've made a few mistakes too. Hello. It might help you to share some of your mistakes you made when you was a kid. Make them feel like a person. Some of y'all act like you're, you know, the Pope living at the house. Oh, I would never breathe a word like, how could you ever speak that way? No. You know, I had a problem when I was a kid that way. You just be open. Be real. But care enough about your children to get the details of what they're going through. We need to have relationships built strong. If we want to have a strong church, it is going to be because we have strong relationships outside this church.
If we want to be close to God, we first of all must be close to each other. If I want my home to honor God, if I want God's presence in my house, I must first of all deal with the relationships in my house. And I'm just asking everyone in this building, let's not be a statistic. I don't want my house being a statistic. I want to have a better relationship every day on every level. And I'll tell you something. As you work towards those things, and I'm not saying it's not perfection, but it's a maturity. It's something you learn and you just say, okay, I'm gonna be a living sacrifice every day trying to develop better relationships in my life. Let me just say this. Try to be a better friend to those who have allowed you to become closer. those that who have invited you in and have given you information they wouldn't give anybody else, be a better friend than you have been in the past. Don't just text praying hands and act like that's going to fix it. I'm telling you, it blows me away. I mean, you're running into these walls and you've got problems this big and people, oh, and I'm not saying that prayer, but the problem a lot of times is it's not something that even needs to be prayed about. Amen. The answer is probably either at the house or somebody you know. Hey, so-and-so is having an issue. There's the answer to prayer. I mean, but where have we gotten? We've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from that. Let's be a person that your relationships are strong. Look at your life and where are your relationships at? Are they strong? Are they founded? Are they deep? Or are they just surface? Are they just surface? And also, be somebody that can be trusted with information. Amen? I know I'm going into overtime, but the Lord's just telling me to share this. Be somebody that can be trusted with information. Amen? If somebody confides in you, that does not mean to go tell five other people so you feel more important because you got the latest and greatest. Amen? I have to be careful who I tell things to. Amen? Being the pastor, I can't choose everybody to be in my inner circle. Amen? Some of you couldn't handle it. Some of you, I mean, I just, be somebody that can be trusted. Men, we need to be able to be trusted one with another to help each other for accountability and for just for friendship. And as we go through our days and working and we need strength and we need help, we need to be able to call up and say, hey, brother, man, I am having a horrible day. Instead of calling up, oh, it's just wonderful today, man. Let's get away from the surface relationships and dig deep and start helping each other grow closer. So that we can all become closer to Him and be what we need to be as a house of God. Amen? And the people of God. Amen? Let's all stand. As He comes to play, heads bowed and eyes closed. First of all, if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, and maybe you've battled with it. Maybe you say, well, everybody's going to make fun of me if I come forward and get saved because I've been in church a while. Let me tell you something. I believe I know the people here pretty well. I don't think anybody's going to poke fun at anyone for coming forward and getting saved by the grace of God. And that is the greatest decision you'll ever make in your entire life. Don't struggle with, well, maybe there's a different way. Maybe there's some other way. No, there is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Never accepted Christ, please come. Christians, first of all, maybe if you're dealing with the temptations of life, maybe you feel like you're falling flat on your face every day, you can't seem to get help, let me just encourage you to begin to overcome the flesh in the simple areas of life, and God will give you the strength to resist in the larger areas of life. Have some days at home if you want a better relationship with your family. Have some days at home that everything gets cut off. Everything gets cut off.
spend some time talking and discussing things and enjoying each other. But you got to set up those times. You got to take some steps in order to have better relationships. You got to do that in a marriage. You got to make things happen. You can't just expect things to get better. You got to do what needs to be done. Daddies, take charge of the time in your house. Take charge of what happens, what your children are spending their time doing. Selfish. I don't want to be rebellious. I don't want to be obedient. And if this is the way you want me to go, if this is the cup you want me to drink, that's what I'm going to do. And then lastly this morning, if you're here and maybe you've not been the best friend, maybe you've not been trustworthy, maybe you've not really cared enough to know the details. Maybe somebody's tried to open up to you. Maybe you've been very surface. Today and being a part of the service. Hope the Lord has spoken to your heart. Amen. Brother Greg, I want to ask if you would